Good morning, Bridgeway.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Well, I would like to begin with two thank yous. First of all, I would like to thank Pastor Steve, Pastor Mitch, and all the volunteer teams for the outstanding Father's Day car show last Sunday. Wasn't that awesome? Let's give them a round of applause. It was a time where we could come together and fellowship and have some food and see some nostalgia with the different cars from the different eras. And we're just thankful for the teams who were able to make that happen. I'd also like to thank Jordan Coley, who's been with Bridgeway for a number of years in the Bridgeway family and also on the Bridgeway employee team. And he's transitioning from Bridgeway to other employment, but we really thank him for his years of ministry and years of service here. Well, I would also, I guess I'll go a third thank you. A third thank you to Pastor David for inviting me to give the message and kick off the summer series this summer. I've been working and walking with Pastor David for over 30 years. And I've had the privilege of being invited along as he has been speaking about multicultural ministry in all over the world, all over the country, and in many different communities. And over the years, he's allowed me to actually participate in some of the teaching. And I've been very honored that he's allowing me today to speak to this topic on stage, how to be a multicultural bridge builder. Now, in order to be a multicultural bridge builder, I believe that we have to look through two lenses. One, we have to look through a bridge or a lens to God. And we have to build a bridge to others. So two bridges, a bridge to God and a bridge to others. And I also believe that in this multicultural journey, which we've all been on, we have to look at our past, our present, and our future. Because the past that we have with the different cultures that we've interacted with affect our present. And who we are today impacts who we're going to be in the future. So we have to build a bridge to God, to others. And as we do this, we have to look at our past, our present, and our future. And as we begin this discussion about multicultural bridge building, I feel that I must confess something. This may come as a surprise to some of you, others of you. It will be quite obvious, but I hope it isn't disappointing to any of you. And that confession is, I am white. Now, other than wanting to get a good laugh, there's a reason that I talk about the fact that I am white, because whenever we initiate cross-cultural connections, we must begin first by understanding ourselves and how our past has influenced the way that we are able to build cross-cultural connections. Our past has influenced the beliefs and values that we have about others in our present. We have to think about what were the overt and covert lessons that we were taught in our past about people from other colors, classes, and cultures. Because before we can begin to understand anyone else, we have to understand ourselves. And my prayer this morning is that you will leave here with two things. One, understanding the why. Why is it important? Why is it important to build bridges across colors, classes, and cultures? And I hope we're also able to walk out of here today with a how. How do we begin this? Because this is not easy. This is tough work. But if we understand the why and we understand the how, then together we can be a multicultural body of fully devoted followers of Christ, moving forward in unity and love to reach our community, culture, and world. Please bow your heads as I ask God to cover this time. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for Bridgeway. We thank you for the diversity that Bridgeway offers, where we can come together as a community of different colors, classes, and cultures each and every Sunday, Lord. I ask you to cover this time. I ask you to take me out of it. And may your words be the words that are spoken today. And may it be your message that is delivered here today. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Bridgeway said, amen. All right, so we're going to begin by going to the passage in Colossians 3, 1 through 16. And I'd like for you to go there if you happen to have a Bible with you on your phone or actual paper Bible. Or if you don't, it's okay because the scripture is going to be on the screen. And this is a bit of a long passage, but what this passage will do is lay the foundation for the rest of the message. So let's read together Colossians 3, 1 through 16. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian or slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all in perfect unity. Thanks be to God for that word this morning. Now, I'm sorry. Yes, I forgot the last part of it. Therefore, I got it, I'm sorry. Bear with each other and forgive each one another as he has. If anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Now, as we continue through the message, I want you to keep your Bible open, because we're going to continue to refer back to that. And you may even find something related to your multicultural journey that you see in that passage. And you won't be able to see mine, but if you were, what you would see is that I have all kinds of marks in this passage. Every time I read it, something new is revealed to me, and I write down notes in this passage. And that may occur with you as we go through our message today. Now, I think it's important to read this up front, because we need to have context for this message. But we have biblical context, and we also have personal context. And I want to share with you just a little bit, a small piece, about my personal context. I grew up in a community that devalued, diminished differences among people from other colors, classes, and cultures. That was my past. That's how I grew up. In fact, the culture that I grew up in actually devalued differences among people who looked like me. Essentially, differences were just a negative. And it took a transformational experience in my late teens, where I developed a friendship with two African-American students that changed my way of thinking about people from other colors and cultures. I went away on a high school choral trip with students from all over our state, and for the very first time in my life, I developed a friendship with someone who did not look like me. And I realized that the words that my family and my friends and my community used to describe those friends was wrong. I got a pit in my stomach And it was actually a point of calibration or conversion for me, where I decided God was calling me to live in community with people from other colors, classes, and cultures. In that moment, my past and my present were colliding. And in the passage that we're reading today, it's very similar. Paul was speaking to Jews and Gentiles in the town of Colossae. It was a town that was divided. They didn't not only want to do life with each other, they actually avoided each other. And they were being confused by other religions, and Paul was trying to help them understand that Christ alone was enough. Christ came to earth to model how we should live as individuals and how we should live in community with others. And while Paul's message was written for a people many years ago, I think this message is still very relevant for our communities today. Amen? So in this passage, we see that God sent his son, the past. God sent his son to die on the cross for us so that we could live with him in eternity. The passage also communicates the present. How are we to live with one another? Our bridge out to others, preparing us for the future. Because we know in Revelations, it tells us that when we all get to heaven, we will be with people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. And so this passage connects our past, our present, and our future. Now, this message is so important for many ways, in many ways. But it's really important for those who call Bridgeway home. At Bridgeway, this multicultural bridge building is embedded in our vision to be a multicultural body of fully devoted followers of Christ, moving forward in unity and love to reach our community, culture, and world for Jesus Christ. Multicultural body. If we want to have a multicultural body at Bridgeway, we have to make sure that we take on the responsibility of making sure that we invite others to create this multicultural body. That's the vision of Bridgeway. That's the vision that God gave Pastor David 31 years ago. To be fully devoted followers of Christ. I think it was divine that we had communion today. Because if we accept Christ as our Savior, then, and we want to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, this multicultural bridge building is not an option. It's a command from God, as we're going to unpack later. Moving forward in unity and love, as we seek to live out the life that God has called us, it's so important that we do that in unity. At Bridgeway, you'll hear we major on the major and minor on the minors, right? What's that mean? That means we're not going to get in conflict about biblical practices or things in the Bible that could be debated, where there are multiple sides to. It means that we're going to move forward in our walk with him in unity and in love to reach our community, culture, and world for Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but it just warms my heart. I love the fact that I get to do life with people who are not like me. That's just exciting. But guess what? That's not why we do it here at Bridgeway. We do it because we're supposed to be set apart. We are supposed to be an example for the world. So we do this to reach our community, culture, and world for Jesus Christ. If we can't do it in church, my goodness, how can we expect the world to do it? Dr. Martin Luther King used to say that 11 o'clock was the most segregated hour of the week. And so as we accept this vision that God has given Pastor David, which is why we as a church exist, and as God gave the vision for his people to live in community to one another, we have to think about how can we do this? Well, I'm going to share some ideas that I have about how we can do this. First, I think we need to go to God first. We need to go to His Word. And we need to look at what His Word says about multicultural bridge building. This is not some left-wing radical social movement. This is a commandment from God, right? We need a social movement. But it's more than that. If we want to be obedient to God's Word, then this is extremely important that we do this. And we'll go back to the anchor passage to unpack this command just a little bit. If we go to the beginning, the first two words in the passage, Colossians 3, verse 1, what are the first two words? Since then, right? So anytime we see those two words, since then, we have to go and read the passage before it, so we know since what? Because the words after that is talking about since then. This is what needs to happen. And what's happening in the chapter 2 is that Paul is instructing these new followers of Christ that if you accept Jesus as your Savior, since then you have been raised in Christ, set your hearts on earthly things, on your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Since then. Now, in my Bible, that section, the title of it is Rules for Holy Living, right? And so we might be tempted to think, okay, this is just how you're supposed to live as a Christian. But we have to look at verse 11. Go to verse 11 with me. It's almost as though verse 11 doesn't belong. Right in the middle of these rules for holy living, there is a multicultural bridge-building clause. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This isn't just about how we need to live as individuals. This is how we need to live in community with each other. And what comes after this is the Bible basis for this multicultural bridge building. We have the word therefore. Again, when we see the word therefore, we have to go back to what's right before it so we know what it's there for. Well, the verse right before therefore is that multicultural ministry clause or phrase. Since there is no Jew, Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. So what we hear here is that if we accept Christ as our Savior, then we need to live in community with one another. So that's going to God's Word and understanding the mandate for this multicultural bridge building. But we also have to go to God in prayer. What's this prayer look like? Well, we need to renew our minds. Our old thinking, as Pastor Mitch says, stinking thinking, right? We develop stinking thinking from our past. And we have to renew our minds. If we go to verse 9 and 10, it says, since you have taken off your old self and its practices, that's the past, you have a new self which is renewed in the knowledge and the image of Christ, our presence. So since we have accepted that God's Son is our Savior, we need to change the way that we interact with others in the present. So what's this renewal look like? Well, it's a tough word. It was a tough word for me, and it may be a tough word for you. But I think it is necessary in this process. We have to repent. We have to go to God and ask Him to reveal the areas in our hearts that need to be renewed in this area of multicultural bridge building. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." And once we go to God in prayer and we ask Him to reveal those things that are hindering us from having an authentic relationship with Him, we need to ask God to forgive us for the negatives, beliefs, and behaviors that we've had toward others. We need to ask God to forgive us for the anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language that has come from our lips about others based on color, class, and culture. And this isn't easy. This is very difficult. These behaviors and attitudes and beliefs that have been nurtured and fed by the world and the evil one. I believe that division among people is the devil's number one tool that he uses. It's a powerful weapon that he uses against us. And we have been taught, again, overt and covert lessons about how we are to think about others. We've been taught this in school, on TV, in movies, on social media, and yes, even in church. And we need to take off this old self and replace it with a new self. And we begin this process by repenting for the beliefs and behaviors of our old self. Now, you may be saying, hey, I grew up in a diverse neighborhood, I went to a diverse school, I go to a diverse church. I don't understand this. I don't have issues with race. But there's something important to understand about this multicultural ministry. These beliefs and behaviors go beyond black and white. In one of Pastor David's book, Letters Across the Divide, he addresses this. He says that black and white are the bookends around this topic of multicultural ministry. The middle includes Hispanic, Asian, gender, socioeconomic status. The divisions among us are not as simple as black and white. They include male, female, rich, poor, African and African American, Chinese and Korean, Japanese and Filipino, English speaking and non-English speaking. These are all divides that we deal with in our lives, in our communities, and our organizations. And we have to examine our hearts and determine in which areas do we need to repent. The next step in this process is to reconcile. Now, the biblical definition for reconciliation is the process of two previously alienated parties coming to peace with one another. This process is exactly what multicultural bridge building is all about. It's about bringing alienated parties together. We need to build a bridge between our old self, the way that we used to be, to our current, since we have accepted Christ as our Savior. And when we're in our present, we have to identify what barriers are present that prevent us from having an authentic relationship with each other. What are we building a bridge over? We have to think about that. From our old self to our new self, what is it that we are building a bridge over? We have to go back to the passage. You used to walk in this way in the life you once past lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things. So let's go to the passage and see if those are barriers for you. I know I've had to struggle with some of these barriers in my own life. Is anger a barrier? Has anger swelled up inside of us because of what the world has told us about other people, because of color, class, and culture? Is slander a barrier? Do we speak the same way about others behind their back as we do to their faces? Do we use the same words at church to describe people as we do in the privacy of our own homes? Is envy a barrier? Oh, I know why they got that promotion or that job. It was because they were blank. Fill in the blank. Because they were a woman. Because they were black. Because they were white. Because they were young. We have to address those barriers, friends. If we want to reconcile with others, we have to acknowledge that the old self exists within us. And we must acknowledge that none of us are immune from these barriers. We all sometimes think negatively about others because of color, class, or culture. If we can't acknowledge this, we really can't move forward. In Ephesians, Paul says, "We wrestle not with against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world, along with spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There are systems that have been created that support this injustice. We know that. But because sin has entered this world, we are imperfect. And our imperfection is present in all areas of our life, including multicultural bridge building. And so when we have one of those thoughts, we need to stop. We need to analyze that thought. Are we justified in this thought? Is it valid 100%? Am I making a generalization or stereotype that may be incomplete? Are the negative, overt, and covert lessons that I learned growing up influencing this thought? Is this thought a product of my old self? Because if we want to reconcile with others, we got to first reconcile with ourselves. And we got to make sure that our behaviors align with our beliefs. We have to reconcile that, and we have to, on a daily basis, ask ourselves that question. We have to go back to the passage, the first two words, since then. Do our behaviors align with since then? Okay, take a breath, everyone, go like this. Right? This is not easy. This is not easy stuff to speak on. And it's not easy stuff for us to hear. Pastor David's been praying for me all morning. The elders have been praying. My family has been praying because I wanted to make sure that we were covered, that I was covered, and that we as a body were covered in prayer. So now that we've talked about the why we need to build these bridges of reconciliation, let's begin to talk about how. How can we deepen our understanding of what it means to build bridges to others on a daily basis? Well, Pastor David frequently explains that comprehension begins with conversation. We have to create opportunities to engage in conversations with others about this ministry and this message of reconciliation. Well, how do we do that? Well, if we want to have conversations with people from other cultures, we have to be in the presence of people from other cultures. We have to look for those opportunities, but we can't stop there. Proximity is to other people with other cultures is not sufficient. We actually have to have connection. We can't attend Bridgeway on a Sunday and call it a day. We have to find opportunities to have deep and meaningful conversations with people who are different than us. One of the best ways that I'm going to suggest that we do that is by taking one of the classes that we offer here at Bridgeway. You heard the voices of the bridge builders at the beginning of this message. Those are folks that have taken the classes, and there's hundreds more who in the last 30 years have taken these classes on reconciliation and multicultural bridge building. And so I encourage you to sign up for one of these classes. In our Wednesday Night Alive discipleship program, we have a whole track. Pastor Sandy Pope leads that ministry. And there is a whole track on reconciliation. From September to June, there are about four or five classes that she gets facilitators for, where you can learn about this process of reconciliation. And that is a great opportunity to learn about how to do this. So what have we said so far? We must go to God. We must renew our minds. We must acknowledge, analyze, and align our actions and our beliefs. And we must also be intentional. We must be intentionally inclusive. We must intentionally seek to include others. This is not something that just happens naturally for most of us. We have to think about it until it becomes a part of who we are. As you walked in today, you received a half-sheet handout. And on one side of this handout are the 8 sayings of a Gracist. On the other side are the 8 sayings of a Gracist with scripture. Now, why did I do that? Because I want you to post this somewhere where you need to see it. And I wanted you to be comfortable to post it at work. So that's without the scripture, unless you work at a church. The other side is with scripture if you want to post it at home. So I encourage you, put this in your cubicle, put it in your office space, put it at the gym, put it at your school, in your locker, to remind yourself of who needs to be lifted up. What people am I interacting with who are marginalized that may benefit from some gracism, who may benefit from some favor that we extend to them because of and sometimes in spite of color, class, and culture. We need to think about who needs to be lifted up, who needs to be covered, who needs to be shared with in this moment, who do we need to honor, who do we need to stand with, who needs to be considered, who needs some celebration, and who needs some healing, who can we walk aside to help them in the healing process. Now, I've said this a couple of times, but it's worth repeating. Bridge building is not easy. It isn't a group of people holding hands with one another singing, "We are the world." I realize I'm dating myself with that comment. Being a bridge builder requires sacrifice. Sometimes we have to suspend our personal preferences for the preciousness of others. And Paul knew this. Let's go back to the passage. Colossians 3:16 says, "Bear with one another and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Bearing with one another implies tension. It implies struggle. Bear with one another. We have to be uncomfortable with some of these feelings if we want to go through this process of reconciliation. We have to take risks. We have to be willing to be misunderstood. And coming from a white man, when I engage in conversations, I have to recognize that I'm coming at it from my perspective. And I may say something that's triggering to someone. I may say something that is misunderstood, but if we want to engage in this process, church, we have to be willing to take these risks, and we have to be willing to engage in these uncomfortable conversations. And as Pastor David says, as I land this plane, let's review. Go to God first, in prayer and in word. Renew our minds. Repent, reconcile, and remove barriers. Acknowledge, analyze, and align our actions and beliefs. Comprehension begins with conversation. Sign up for a Wednesday Night Live class. Now, I have to tell you, I am so excited about going through this process that I couldn't wait until September. So I got on the calendar here at Omar on July 22nd. We're going to come together in room 4 and 5. Hopefully we fill both rooms. And we're going to have an all-day class that unpacks this even deeper. And I'll facilitate some of those discussions like you heard about. We'll have breakfast together. We'll break bread. We'll have some lunch together. You can sign up for that at bridgeway.cc/events. And I encourage you to do that. We talked about being intentionally including others. Become a gracist, okay? Pick up a gracist button in the lobby and strategically wear it to provoke conversations. Trust me, it will provoke conversations. In airports, in shopping malls, it will provoke conversations. You could also purchase a Gracism shirt, and you can find those at bridgeway.cc/gracism. But you have to be careful. I do not recommend wearing a blazer when you wear the shirt. It will provoke a whole different conversation. Now, also pick up Pastor David's latest edition of Gracism, the Art of Inclusion. You can also go to the website to do that. S is sacrifice. We need to suspend personal preferences. Lastly, if we want to be a multicultural bridge builder, we have to live transformed lives. This requires us to be a bridge. We have to build a bridge to God, and we have to build a bridge to others. But friends, this isn't two bridges. This is one bridge. When we build a bridge up to God, as we build a bridge to others, we have a cross. We must remember that if we seek to be multicultural bridge builders, that the cross is right in the middle of our bridge, connecting our past to our future. It's a cross. And I believe this cross is represented by two passages in the New Testament. One, many church-going folk are familiar with. One of the most quoted Bible verses about Jesus coming to the earth and dying on the cross is what? John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But oftentimes we don't go to 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says this, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Amen? Amen. Okay, let me close us out here with some prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that you created a diverse world, Lord. We thank you that you created each of us to be exactly who we are, Lord. You knit us together. You know every hair on our head. You know every freckle on our back. You know us well, Lord, because you created us. But you didn't create us to be individuals. You created us to be in community with one another so that we could be in community with you. And so, Lord, as we leave here today, I ask that you be with each of us. And you help each of us examine the areas in which we need to strengthen for this multicultural bridge building. I thank you for this body this morning, Lord. I thank you for their willingness to listen. I thank you for their forgiveness, Lord, because I no doubt said something today that is hurting their heart. And Lord, I personally ask for forgiveness that happened. Be with us today as we leave here. Again, thank you for Bridgeway, and thank you for all the lives that you brought together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.